Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, thanks for downloading the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast. Pleasure to have you on board. Just a little bit of interesting admin at the top of the shop. We've just started a Facebook page, the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast on Facebook. And we've got a brand new email address, theunlikelyweightlifters@gmail.com, for all of your unlikely weightlifting and TK Maxx pant buying, etc. correspondence. Enjoy the podcast. Weightlifters podcast. That was a new song me and Tom have been working on called the
Fanny Packs.
Fanny Packs
and Party Dresses.
And the Party Dresses, which is a
working
lovely
title.
Yeah, we're just thrashing out the idea.
Of course, you've been stateside. That's why.
Of course, I have been stateside. How do
you say bum bag normally?
Yeah, exactly. Bum bag means fanny pack. Buck means a pound. Also, you can use a book for a book meaning 100.
And what's it? Faucet. Faucet. What's that? Aubergine.
Faucet is aubergine. Zucchini is tap.
Sidewalk.
Cilantro is sidewalk. Is a pavement or a back garden gate, I think.
Oh.
Is it?
What do they call a bit between two houses? That sends shockwaves through.
That is called the Biffin's Bridge. I believe.
Any like student union, any place where young people from different areas of the United Kingdom congregate,
mm-hmm.
the air is thick with what do you call that?
Oh, isn't it just? Yeah. And people take
a fucking general.
Yeah, people take immense, deep kind of associated pride over knowing that. Even if
battle lines are drawn.
Yeah. Even if they never even used to use
never
those words.
Word.
That's the first week of a student union. Absolutely. Yeah. Accents get ramped up hard.
If it's glass.
Yeah.
How do you say, like, but there's always like the gotcha bit is like, so how do you, like, brass, mate.
Yeah. It's not brass, it's brass.
We'll say some undergraduate who's from Cumbria or something. And a debate will ensue about the brass, glass, all that. And then someone will say, what do you call That thing that women wear is spelt B-R-A. Bra, exactly. So it's brass.
That's not, like a, well, it's not, my mum calls it a bra.
Bra.
Anyway, we've got physics. Let's go to physics.
Have another pint of steak.
We've got an orientation in a minute.
Two more steak bites, we'll have a lecture. What a life.
Unbelievable. God, feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? Good God. Good God. It's your Lightly Weightlifted podcast. We're just going to set up the dojo. If it's your first time listening, welcome. Welcome one and all. Big shout out to listener Gail, who I met last night. Hi, Gail. Say hello to Gail, Tom.
Oh, hello, Gail. Just looking for my spectacles.
I was did a show last night. He's just looking for spectacles, Gail. Did a show last night in Topcliffe. And I was just entering the back of the premises, having arrived from another gig, and Gail met me at the door. She was there, just pure coincidence, a kind of a comedy of errors of opening the door for one another, and she said that she was a huge fan of the podcast, so I'd like to say thank you for coming and saying hello, Gail. Absolute pleasure to meet you, and glad you are enjoying the podcast on your dog walks.
Oh, is that when she listens?
Yeah, she listens when she's out walking. She says she walks around walking her dog, giggling all the way around, which is just a delightful, delightful scene. What's the problem, Tom? You're trying to work out...
I've not got my readers. Have you got any plus twos?
I've got plus 1.5. I've just put them upon.
Does that say left or...
That says your left leg, right. Yeah.
So we've got to put some knee sleeves on.
Yeah, we're going to put our knee support sleeves on, which were given...
For ages, I didn't realise that they were
left
biased.
And right, left yeah. And right.
They really had a political leaning.
Well, as long as you wear one on either leg, Tom, you should be right down the middle, which is all we
liberal.
Need. So, yes, it's your first time joining us. Me and Tom, we meet up roughly once a week, diarrhoea permitting, we say, don't we, Tom?
Yeah.
Which is a coverall term that often covers an event like that, which can happen, A, in the midlife, and B, especially for Tom, with two young children.
Petri dishes.
Petri dishes, bringing home constant checks and balances for the immune system, aren't you, Tom?
Something like that.
So we just use the coverall term, diarrhoea permitting, if we ever have to have a week off. But we try and meet once a week, and we do functional weightlifting. So it's not for showing off. We don't think we're Arnold Schwarzenegger or Tom Cruise or anyone like that. But we're basically building functional strength to secure up our glass backs against the ravages of life as we slowly and inexorably spin towards our own atrophy and eventual death. But in the meantime, we're putting up a battle, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, trying to stay positive about the whole thing. It's also good for, you know, doing a lot of DIY.
Yeah.
I used to really struggle messing about with bags of heavy sand and stuff like that.
Mm.
Now I can shoot it up. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's... so, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, no, it's the functional strength. Getting the shopping in is essentially a deadlift, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yes. My grip strength's gone through the roof regarding that. in fact, the other day we get all our shopping delivered and the fella turned up with all these bags and everything, put them down, and I could see he was struggling.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to embarrass the guy, but I made easy work.
Yeah.
I just bunched up three or four in one hand.
Yeah.
And then the same in the other hand.
Kept the back flat as you bent it
up,
down.
Dad lifted him up.
Boom.
And then set off up the side of the house.
Yeah. Well, I think the lady who dropped off our recent supermarket delivery, I think she might have been squat benching and deadlifting because she flew it out the back of the van, Tom.
Really?
Right, so we'll get togged up and let's hit the rack. Come on, German! Checking levels.
And I'll never forget this LP. It was at my granny's house.
An LP. I'm just checking for plosives there, Tom. Yeah.
And it was a cover. It had a Mallard steam train on the front.
Beautiful. Beautiful Mallard steam train.
Yeah, I'd love to get a copy of this thing. It was, like I say, a long play record.
Yeah.
That I'd play on my granny's record player. And it was titled A Journey into Stereophonic Sound.
Oh.
And it was the first, you know...
Should we do our own journey into stereophonic sound? Because I can pan you out a little bit beautiful. To one side, me so to, to the other
he
side.
He had a steam train that would just roar across the living room.
Oh.
And all narrated by this RP accent going, a journey into stereophonic sound.
Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant.
Would you like to be a steam train and go from one side of the garage to the other? And then I'll pan it out. I can only begin to imagine what an experience that was for the listeners.
You would have panned. Play a D7th with a suspended knife.
You would have panned from either the left or the right speaker or to the right to the left. You can only imagine how exciting that would be as an audio event.
I don't know if it's a myth,
but
the story goes, the legend goes, that when they first showed a train coming towards the camera, I believe it was in a Parisian cinema.
Yeah, right.
Or it might have been stateside. But anyway, it was a film.
I could talk about that later.
Yeah.
It'd just been stateside.
It was a film of a train coming towards the camera.
Yeah.
And everyone ran out of the cinema thinking it was so real.
Incredible.
Now, I don't know whether that's true or not.
No, I've heard that.
Yeah,
I don't know whether it was France or stateside or where I've just been. Yeah.
Either way, I think when people hear my impression of a steam train rushing past the left to right, they might just step back a little bit.
Yeah, they might expect the draft.
Am I at Paddington?
Am I a sudden transported into the movie of the Railway Children? Is that my father coming through the steam?
Stereophonic sound.
The joy
into stereophonic. Well, after it was a great thing.
It's like that bit at the start of Eric B. and Rakim, isn't it?
I used to listen to that and then Roger Whittaker. What an afternoon, then Bullseye.
They don't know they're bald nowadays, do they, Tom?
It's iPads, eh?
Roger Whittaker, he always used to wear like almost like a gilet covered in zips and pockets.
Yeah, I think so. He looked like he just stepped off Country File.
Yeah, or he'd just come from a fly fishing competition.
Yeah. Probably just been chatted to John Craven. Wonderful. And obviously a superb whistler.
Superb whistler. Can you imagine what a time in show business?
People used to whistle.
Where you could become the guy in front of a band.
Yeah. Yeah, whistling. Remarkable. Amazing no mics, of course.
Yeah.
Roger Whittaker. Roger.
The journey into stereo sound. Stereo sound.
Right, you need to do five of them.
Five of them.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new colour, new dimension, new values, and a new experience. Stereophonic sound.
So rest period one after the squat there, Tom. As you just said to yourself as you sat down, that is an overload event.
Yeah.
Isn't it just?
It really is.
Oh, I tell you what else was an overload event, Tom.
Go on.
I don't know whether I'd mentioned that I've been stateside recently.
Have you been stateside?
Yeah, I've been stateside.
Just got in on the red eye.
Yeah, just got in on the red eye. That's the red eyes there.
Nice.
But Helen took me away for my 50th birthday celebration.
Beautiful.
To the Big Apple, a.k.a. New York City, in America, the United States of America. Yeah, have you been?
I've not been. It used to be called New Amsterdam, didn't it?
That's right. It was called New Amsterdam. Yeah. It's now called New York. I don't know if you've heard of it. But
it's interesting to think that Yorkshire has such a global reach in that regard.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I've never seen that many whippets or flat caps outside of Yorkshire in my entire life. It was incredible.
Eating bagels.
Yeah, absolutely. And loads of students running around going, I love York. I love York.
The shambles.
Yeah. Got a lot of stag doos around here. What a place. What a town. New York City, Tom. It never sleeps. Absolutely incredible.
Where were you?
Where weren't we, Tom? Where weren't we? We stayed in Midtown in Hell's Kitchen. If you can imagine that.
Hell's Kitchen,
where Sylvester Stallone grew up, apparently.
Oh, I see.
Which is
right,
midtown.
Right. Not where bloody Gordon Ramsay films them.
No, no, good
right.
God.
I know what you mean.
That
it's
would
an
not
area
be a holiday being sworn at for getting an omelette wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it? Bloody hell, wind your neck and Gordon. It's a birthday treat. You're ruining it, shouting.
We didn't
everyone.
Have 3 eggs, Gordon. I made it out of 2.
Absolutely. Calm down. You're going to do yourself an injury. No, we stayed in Midtown. I don't even know what time, about 6 blocks up from Times Square.
Right.
But Midtown on East, East, West, West 48th and 8th. And literally, it was amazing. As we got there, the first thing we saw was steam coming out of the manhole covers.
They don't just do that on the films.
No, they don't just do that on the films. Or maybe they said, quick, there's new
it's coming, it's coming.
Set it off. And we arrived, obviously having arrived on the red eye. I don't even know what that means, but I'm just going to keep saying it. We arrived on the red eye and dropped the stuff at the hotel, which was lovely. And then went for a wander and ended up in Times Square, which, is like Leicester Square times 50,000. It's insane, yeah, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, equally as kind of horrific and brilliant at the same time.
Caricature artists?
Yeah, caricature artists. Accidentally gave a man $5.
Oh, did you?
Who immediately scabbed me the minute I walked in. Should I give you $5?
$5 to walk on this bit of sidewalk, isn't it?
Is it really?
Bloody reasonable.
Yeah, well, I know you tip people for bags and certainly for walking on sidewalks. There you go, sir. Would you like my credit card details? Absolutely. Because we were exhausted and delirious from
the
flight
red eye,
and everything.
Yeah.
From the red eye, I had really red eyes. And then Friday morning, we straightened out and we got breakfast in an authentic West Side bagel shop. A spit and sawdust bagel shop. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to podcasts about New York. And the big currency in the Big Apple, Tom, is time, because everyone's trying to make a buck. And the biggest favour you can do people is by not wasting their time, not walking into a bagel shop and saying, they all look nice. What would you recommend?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Helen always takes a piss out of me for that anyway, because whenever we go to get something to eat, I always change my mind. And then just as I leave and go, can I actually change my mind? And I'm incredibly indecisive. So I walked into the bagel shop.
Give you a short thrift there.
Yeah, and I said, I'll have the cat special, please. Oh, no, can you get me a cat special, please? Thanks, man. And he went, all right, buddy. Can I get? You have to say, yeah. I want, can you get me? Or, what's up? Get me one of these, please.
The what special, then?
I think it was whatever it was, the name of the bagel shop. It wasn't Cat's Deli, whatever it was. But
play it safe with that.
Yeah, I said, I'll take the special, please, on the rye with everything. And he went, do you want that toast? And we went, yes, please, buddy. And
he
went, coming right up, man. And started slamming it together. And I looked to Helen as if to go, there you go. Look how decisive I was. And then he said, oh, what do you want, sweetheart? And she went, can I have a kind of a cheesy kind of vegetarian-y thing? And he went,
oh my god, get out of here,
there's people waiting in line here.
You've blown 4 million off the economy.
It was incredible. Yeah, the stock market crashed. Someone
just dithers about in a bagel shop.
Yeah, I can only apologise if anyone's mortgages have gone up in the
flipping
interim.
I believe Helen, the yen soared.
Yeah, Helen did more damage in that bagel shop than Liz Truss managed in a month. But it was just everything that they do in New York. Like, the whole thing is sales, isn't it? Like, everything is sold brilliantly. Whether they're selling the town, the bagel you're eating, the coffee you're drinking, the sidewalk you're not walking on or don't walk. Just, I couldn't believe, it makes you realise how unbelievably apologetic we are as British people for everything. And I understand that that's ingrained a bit into our culture. Probably something to do with the class system, isn't it? And the filter down of that and us all being stuck in, you know, this weird hierarchy. None of that in America. Amazing.
The front stabbers, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Front foot. It's $5. Please leave me alone. Absolutely amazing. And we went on the Friday morning. We went over to Brooklyn. We got on the L train.
Of course.
Yeah, felt like it was in a Motown song.
Yeah,
got an L train. We got out of Brooklyn and went on a graffiti tour that my brother-in-law had got us as a birthday ticket. And we arrived in Brooklyn. It suddenly felt very different Manhattan. And we were stood by this enormous graffitied wall at what was meant to be the correct address. And there was no one around, and graffiti everywhere, and trainers hanging from a lot of the telephone wires.
Oh, yeah.
Which I believe the post office do over there. I'm not entirely sure how that works.
Yeah, it's been a sort of stag do.
Yeah, stag.
The guys from York, wasn't it?
Horseplay, yeah, the lads from York, wasn't it? Yeah.
There we go, what happened to
the lads up from Erdington for a stag weekend. Yeah. And then this guy turned up.
Kieran lobbed his trainers over the telephone wire.
Again. And then this dude turned up called Eddie, who was like one of the original kind of graffiti taggers in the Bronx.
Local lad, was he?
Yeah. He grew up in the Bronx. And he took us around for an hour and a half, and it was just absolutely mind-blowing. Like the artwork, the graffiti, the kind of the... the history of it all, his place in it. He was like one of the first ever graffiti taggers. And then now graffiti is kind of absorbed into visual art as we understand it, isn't it? That graphical elements of it. It's amazing. And he was there right at the beginning. Incredible fella.
How old was he?
72.
Was he?
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, and then he said before you leave, you've got to get a slice of pizza from Danny's.
All right.
And best pizza I've ever had in my life, Tom.
Really?
Yeah, best just went in.
Who was Danny then?
Danny was this Italian family. They run this pizza joint. And it real spit and sawdust. Everyone just goes in, what's up? Give me a slice, Danny. All right, here you go. What's up? And it was incredible, Tom. It's something to do with the water, apparently. And it comes through the bagels as well. It comes straight from the Catskill Mountains, the water in New York. It's not filtered. And it's entirely mineral water on tap in New York.
And is that similar to the baking products?
Yeah, and apparently that's why the bagels and the pizza dough is so great in New York.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all down to the water, Tom.
Right.
It's in the water, baby. It's in the water. Incredible. And then we walked back over the Brooklyn Bridge, and we went to the World Trade Center and the memorial, and then we went uptown, walked back up for the evening, and went to the Comedy Cellar.
Oh.
And I was terrified that I was going to... I thought, right, it's fine.
So what do you do, buddy?
Yeah. As long as they're at the back, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right at the fucking front. Oh. Absolutely on the front row.
Let's hit us with that anecdote after this set.
Yeah, let's do set two.
Yeah.
Tom.
Oh yeah.
It's so different. First of all, like you've got what you can't underestimate is you're 4 hours behind. Do you know what I mean? We're four hours behind in New York. All of this stuff I've been telling you about New York was all happening. You were 4 hours ahead and I was four hours behind.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Is that all? I thought it was more than that.
It was four because they've just gone to summertime. Don't even know that stateside. They've just jumped over to summertime. To stateside summertime. So there's only a 4 hour time difference between here and New York.
Right.
But the comedy club was amazing. The comedy club was amazing.
No wonder they're in a rush.
Yeah, exactly. They're 4 hours behind. Time is money.
We've got to get back to net zero, man.
Exactly.
I can 4 hours behind here. We've got to give them a lifeline with the summertime. We've got to give them an hour.
So we got to throw them a freaking bone here, for Christ's sake.
We got 4 hours to make up on these limey guys. Stop fucking about in bagel shops. Seconds count.
Oh, man. What a trip. I can't believe it. It's mad.
Who were the comedians?
There was a guy, the only guy I knew was Greer Barnes. It was quite a sort of surrealist kind of guy, but looks like, and he really plays on it, like he's like a bit of a kind of slightly vagrant looking guy who's just walked in off the street.
Right.
It was quite surrealist. But it was really interesting. Like the show was an hour and a half.
You're in, you're out.
Yeah, you buy your ticket, two drink minimum. So you got to get to, which reminded me of the dinner ladies in Sheffield. It's two units, super fruit juice. Two units. Can I have a yoghurt in that? No, it's super fruit juice.
What? Where was that?
That was when I was a student in Sheffield. The dinner ladies at the Hall of Residence were incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes in bed and breakfast, they treat orange juice as a starter, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cereal or orange juice.
It is a starter.
And I'll be absolutely honest with them and you, Rob. I quite often have cereal and orange juice.
Wow.
And I don't
That's
see it
two
as
units.
Two... I just don't see it as that.
It's two units.
I see it
as
one unit in a drink.
That's two units, that is. Super fruit juice.
Super fruit
cereal or fruit juice. Fruit Loops or fruit juice. It's two units.
You can either pour it or join it up. So, but you've got to buy two drinks. Table minimum. Is there a table charge, service charge, cover charge?
So you reserve for free, you pay for your tickets, and then it's two drink minimum, and then... your phone goes into like a an envelope on a flight mode.
That's for the fan like to do a magic trick.
Yeah. You find out you've got a different phone. I've graded up. And then you get them back at the end, obviously. But the show is just like an hour and a half. MC comes on. We're sat right
at the front. No phones. Are they just absolutely...
Yeah, no phones at all. Yeah, it was great. And it did make me realise, like the last couple of nights doing gigs, there's always a few people on phones.
Yeah, right.
And just go, yeah.
Where do New Yorkers stand on the... Like, I pay for stuff on my phone all the time.
Mm, mm.
So, weren't you know, if I was suddenly, legislated to buy two drinks minimum... And
we
you
got
took
you, buddy.
Phone,
we got you, buddy. We run a tab on each of the tables. We know where you're sat. We keep a chit on these things.
So you get
you
your phone
at the
back.
Fucking end. All right. You pay to get out. You pay to get out. That's what happens.
So you get your phone back and then
you get all of it back. Yeah.
Oh, and then you can pay on your phone.
Yeah, and then you pay on the way out. Yeah.
Got
yeah.
It.
So
fine.
Silent table service all the way. So you need anything, you literally just go like that and they come over.
You have to mime it.
Whisper in your ear. Yeah. It's, you know, but by the time you've been in New York for 24 hours, Tom, you're all across it.
Yeah. Right,
you've got the sign language down, you understand. And it's great. And the MC comes out, does like 10 minutes. We're sat right at the front, stage left, right at the front, feet on the edge of the stage. And I was terrified. I was thinking, right, I'll revert to previous job, geography teacher.
We've covered it.
Then
if he
doubles down, I can do a couple of subsidiary questions. Then
your favourite river, Nile.
Yeah. Because the last thing I want to do is panic and end up telling him the truth. Thereby giving a fellow clown a hospital pass.
I want to give him something he can do.
It's not about me.
I want to keep it going well.
Yeah. I want to keep the momentum going. Very much like a flight marshal on a plane. I'm there for the good of the flight.
I'm on your side.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm undercover, but my intentions are to keep this
moving
in the right direction.
Would cause a massive ruffle.
Absolutely. Yeah, they don't want to know a flight marshal's on a plane. Especially sat by the fucking exit doors.
Yeah.
and the first thing he did, this guy John, when he came on, was he immediately spoke to us.
Did he?
But he was really nice. And every single act had that thing of, regardless of what their type of comedy was, what their vibe was, fuck me, they sold it with absolute zero apology. Couple of them, a little bit like it was coming off the back of their eyes, but most of them really, 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 really present and totally selling it. So the MC comes on, does 10-15.
At the tap.
Immediately talks to us at the tap, straight off the bat, straight out the gate. So he's out the gate, Tom, straight out the gate. Immediately talks to us, asks if we're in town. And I say, yeah, it's my 50th. She's brought me out for it. And he went, whoa, it's great, man. Applause. You look great on it.
Geography teacher.
And then at that point, all of our food arrived. He went, Jesus Christ, have you been working down a fucking mine?
Nice.
Which is great.
Nearly. I'm a geography teacher. I know a lot about mines, being a geography teacher.
The River Nile.
I'm not a comedian.
But fortunately, at that point, he got a massive laugh and moved on.
Oh.
Woo! And then the rest of the night, no
one
spoke.
You just left
to us.
With a plate of ribs.
Absolutely.
Or something.
Yeah, I was just the guy who was eating
Nacho.
Everything.
What did you go for?
I had some sliders.
Right. Yeah. Which Little burgers, aren't they?
They're flip-flops, basically. Yeah, toasted flip-flops, aren't they? Footballers wear with socks, I believe. I don't know. They were like, they're like little burgers.
Like sort of a croc.
Yeah, so that joke fell flat. I think sliders is an American term for flip-flops. Anyway.
Is that the difference of herb?
And some fries and some onion rings.
They are little burgers.
Yeah, they are little burgers. Yeah, I didn't know what they were when I ordered them. I just panicked.
Yeah.
Because I had to just get me two order minimum.
Of course. You're on the back foot anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just think of geography teacher, geography teacher, Hoyt sector model, urban regeneration.
How many tributaries the Nile's got?
Oh, shit.
Slider sounds fine, yeah. Yeah, there's a sediment slide to the bottom of the Nile. I remember that. Right.
What's your favourite river? I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm here undercover.
Fucking hell.
I've blown it. But it was great. It was incredible. And then you pay for all of it on the way out. But the show
How
is...
civilised.
Yeah. Show comes out, MC comes out, does 10, 15 at the top. And then there were five acts all doing 15 minutes. Zero in between them. He just came on, wait, that was great. We've got some more show for you. Brings the next person on. And everyone just comes out and goes, bang. They just start. No one goes, hello, hi, how are you all doing? Okay, hi, this is who I am. God, I look a bit weird, don't I? You're probably thinking, I look a bit like... There's none of that it's at just... all. Just straight on. And then at the end of their time, there's just kind of, I'm out of time, bang, I'm out of here. It was really interesting. And I think what was really, I think somewhere that for all of us, the middle way is the way through all that. That thing, it made me think.
Well, you think it was too fast? Like it was.
Well, it fitted the culture there. Because time is money. Remember, you know, Helen did it in a bagel shop. Yeah. The economy
crashed. The economy.
Yeah. Lost 10 points off the Dow Jones.
Is that another slider?
This guy's running out of the World Trade Center and just
little
ties,
aren't they?
Yeah, sweating, leaning against the wall. How am I going to tell my wife? Can't believe that broad stuck so long to stay on a fucking bagel. Now I've lost my place in the Hamptons. But that made me think like that. There's sometimes, or how there is, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because for us, it's status, isn't it? You play a sort of a beta status, don't you, on stage?
Yes, and they don't.
Yeah. Who's bizarrely in charge of the situation?
Yeah.
Really, really interesting. Yeah,
that, the Americans do have that sort of... Not quite the same, though, do they? They don't have that... Because I find it a hilarious comedic point of reference or point of view is a bumbling idiot,
yeah,
myself, accidentally in charge.
Yes.
And
yeah, that's
timelessly
exactly.
funny. It's timelessly funny. But we're talking about the Mr. Men guy, Captain Mannering.
Captain Mannering, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. But America, they must.
But then again, was that Bilko, Sergeant Bilko? He was a wisecracker, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's different.
So, and I think to be, it takes a lot more work to sell the idea of a bumbling idiot in charge, rather than a wisecracker spitting the odds.
Yeah, it comes from that difference, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. But yeah, stateside, Tom. It's time for set three. And then we really must hear about what you were talking about. What were you going to say?
I bought a piano.
Bought a piano. Yeah. You bought a new piano?
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun! Unbelievable.
Ooh, come on, German! Oh, Tom has just racked his third squat. It's interesting. I think we come blasé to the gravity denial that occurs in between the waffling on this podcast. But it really is quite a movement, isn't it, the squat?
Yeah, the squat is... they call it the king of lifts, is that right?
It must be, yeah. Yeah. At least the prince. Well, did I tell you when we went stateside?
New York lifts.
When we went stateside to New York in the in-flight meal, the water... in the little in-flight meal with the little foil top on it.
Yeah.
It's called the Prince of Waters. Oh. I'll just leave you with that, just like the King of Lifts. Anyway, but that was when I was stateside, but I don't want to keep dragging it back to that.
No. I've always wondered. Who did you fly with, Virgin?
We went with Aer Lingus.
Yeah,
we're Aer Lingus. And on the way back, actually, it was almost the perfect sweet spot of minor anonymous celebrity, Tom.
Oh, aye.
The head of the air hostesses, when we stepped in, she went, oh... I know you. I've seen you at Guy's gig in Grappinall Working Men's Club. And suddenly arrived with two glasses of champagne into economy class.
Beautiful. Was that because it was your birthday or because you were...
No, just recognises from the gigs.
Wowzers.
So it was the perfect sweet spot of a little bit of... And she said, I'd upgrade you, but the captain's being a bit tricksy at the moment. She was considering bangers in first class for doing a gig at Grappin' All Working Men's Club.
The power.
That felt like the sweet spot.
Yeah, perfect.
But no one else knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. We're just getting little bongs here
and
there.
Little leg ups. Little,
Yeah.
I've twice flown on my birthday. And I don't think I've been upgraded, but I've had champagne brought to me. And a cake.
Oh!
I think British Airways are one of them. Another one was like a shoddier airline that just sort of chucked a bag of pretzels my way or something like that.
Yeah, much more water without stopping.
Yeah.
They hit you in the eye.
But the British Airways, they came out there, a small bottle of champagne. You know, they're like a little skittle thing.
British Airways bottle of champagne.
British Airways bottle of champagne. And a sort of individual muffin birthday cake, but it was a birthday cake.
Wow.
And it said happy birthday on it.
The captain would like to send his birthday, which he'd love to come and do it personally, but he's a little bit busy at the moment. Flying the plane.
They're putting 9,000 tons of metal 8 miles in the air. So excuse me while he's a little bit occupied, but he does send his kindest regards. And of course, the thing is, you can't fraud that.
No.
Let's see your passport then. You can't claim. You like people all the time, like bowling alleys or something. Oh, it's my birthday, and then they might try and get a free milkshake or whatever.
People do it at gigs, and you drill down into the data as a compo. Find out it was a month ago.
Exactly. Yeah, but on a you are absolutely beholden to it on a plane. You're absolutely, not get away with that.
Yeah, different laws. 8 miles in the sky, isn't it, Tom?
Any claims to being a birthday, you better be you better be opening that passport and wafting it in front of someone. Yeah. So, I bought a piano, Rob.
Incredible.
Because I had a plastic keyboard that I've had for years, which seemed to be okay. And I thought, I'll put it in the living room and get the children banging about on it after school and stuff. But much to my horror, this piano came equipped. It was like an old M Audio 61 key station.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of across it.
Yeah, it's a basic MIDI controller.
MIDI stands for micro. Anyway, it's basically MIDI is the system whereby you can control different tech, different patches, codes, instrument sounds from a keyboard or potentially from a computer. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, that's
correct. I think it stands for musical instrument digital interface.
I was just finding Shimon at the time.
And it's ancient.
Yeah, it is. MIDI was. I remember MIDI was around, and I didn't know what it was when I was at secondary school.
And it was hijacked by hi-fis that would just brandish it on mini hi-fis. You got MIDI hi-fis.
Oh yeah,
it became one of those stupid words.
Because and that just meant medium size one, didn't it?
I don't even know what it meant.
Like a Sashio one from the Curry's Own brand.
But they were just nicking a genuine acronym from a. I don't know if people have knuckled down on that sort of thing, but
They must have. Surely they felt the full face of the
trade descriptions.
Yeah, surely you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
So this old MIDI MIDI controller M61 key station, it's got two wheels on the side, pitch bend and modulation.
Yeah,
which just makes your piano sound like an old person's playing it.
Yeah.
And what would happen? I thought I dusted down this old keyboard. Plugged it in to my computer, and the idea was that I don't want it through my computer.
Right.
I just want to butcher Let It Be.
Yeah.
I don't need to have to clear my desk, get the keyboard out, fire up some powerful software just to be able to bang out
the
piano.
You just want to go straight to the butchery.
Yeah, I just want to go straight to butchery. So I got a piano box, which is basically MIDI sound bank, general MIDI sound, 127 voice on there, I think, something like that. You got a basic piano and a Rhodes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's absolutely fine. There's very expensive ones you could buy, but I just got a level entry one and it worked beautifully. Via Jeff. Funny enough, came from Stateside.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been to Stateside. Yeah.
You probably saw it on the plane.
I probably did.
This is going to Limey Land, ain't it?
I'll take that. I'll drop that off with him. Call me Jeff Bezos. I'm in Drumfield Tuesday. I'm passing.
I'm going to have my laser off in Eckington. The So I went to set it up in the living room, the warble, the modulation was just on, regardless of where you had the modulation wheel. It just sounded like you were playing the piano.
Like that wheel had gone.
The wheel had stuck.
So
I went inside it with a bit of contact cleaner and, air duster.
Like you do.
I just simply removed the 9,000 screws from the back. Took me about 40 minutes.
Taking photographs of each one so you could put them back in like for like. And then accidentally knocked them all off the table. Yeah. Oh, shit.
So I did all that and then just thought, actually, fuck this. I'd never use the pitch bend or modulation. Mm. I'm not even going to plug them back into the motherboard. So I just left them off. So there's no way that there was getting any data from that. And then I plug it all back in, think it works, and then within a minute of playing it, so I'm like, there I am, just butchering Let It Be.
Yeah.
About to go to the chorus.
Lovely.
And it suddenly starts sounding like that again. It's just sending this MIDI garbage. It was just like to modulate, and you couldn't relax.
Yeah.
Playing, knowing that any
you
second...
You can't relax into your butchery, can you?
No.
You can't even hear the cattle screaming.
Knowing that any second you're going to just make this goofy noise. So I thought,
and you've got to know which note you're starting on when you lead into the You start too high or low, you could be all over the place.
Your line of defence is to set it to a harpsichord or a church organ or something that's got a natural wobble to it anyway.
Right, that can take the
that can handle such but a general MIDI piano sound just sounds ridiculous when that happens. So I was like, okay, I'll buy a new keyboard. And my idea was that I'll use this one, this cheap one that I had, for a couple of years and I'll get a good one when the kids are a bit older.
You could perhaps integrate it into your outdoor defence system that when the...
When
the laser beam is broken
if I've got
and the marbles have been distributed from the baked bean tin onto the stairs, maybe one of them bounces down the keys, setting off do, which sets off the flamethrowers.
Yeah, yeah. Rob, of course, is reflecting on the fact that outside my house I've got a, what you'd call...
Think about the opening sequence in Back to the Future.
Eccentric burglar.
Yeah, it's in the way that Doc Brown in Back to the Future feeds his dog food.
Yeah, it's a little bit Wallace and Gromit. But basically, if any uncouth person is found loitering around the back of my house late at night, woe betide them. I could have a big piano chord, but anyway, I'm in the market for a new keyboard and I'm doing research and I want one that is like proper fully weighted keys because I'm about the five times in my life where I've done a gig at a theatre or something and it happened to have a £80,000 Steinway in the wings and I've managed to fluke myself a go on it.
Great.
I cannot believe how good they are. Mm. You just cannot believe it. Like, it's how lovely it feels to play it, how the notes are so
there's a music shop in Manchester on Deansgate. I've taken Len to a couple of times just to play the pianos, and they're like £250,000 pianos in there.
It's off the charts.
They just let you play them.
Elton John and
people. Oh, it's incredible,
So I bought this, a MIDI controller, which has got fully weighted keys in it. And I think it was £350. Which was way over budget. It was enough to trigger a conversation with the wife.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm gonna do this. I've show all my workings out.
This matters to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's the future of the girl's future is in this.
There's no point in buying a rubbish one and then this one.
Absolutely.
We're going long.
Yeah, this is a family heirloom.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's good. It's only going to accrue value.
Yeah, yeah. So bought it on eBay. In Leicester, drove to pick it up.
Oh, great.
Extraordinary scene. Seat down in the car.
Yeah.
Absolute unit. It's like moving a surfboard. 20 kilogram. Well, like a pack of surfboards.
I bought a Korg RD something, which is a really ancient one, for about £100 off eBay when we did that gig because we needed to do Jump and we needed the synth sound that Len could play with weighted keys. And literally, that's about an 80 kilogram deadlift. It's brutal.
Yeah. They're really, really, you'd hate to be a keyboard player. If that was you.
Absolutely. No wonder Howard Jones had such big biceps.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Absolutely inevitable. Some of the lads from Depeche Mode, apparently.
Yeah,
could,
Chris Lowe from the Pet Shop Boys could
fell trees with a bare hands. Absolute monsters. Little's known about that.
and Chris Lowe does it all without any expression registering on his face.
Right, yeah.
Another giant redwood down, Chris.
Maybe. You're giving it nothing away, aren't you, Chris?
Bang, bang, bang.
Did you? Did you move that car with your bare arms, Chris, or not? Might have done. So I got it. It's all fine and wonderful, and I absolutely love it. I can't believe how nice it is to play.
Great.
And the piano, the actual piano box thing I bought turns out to be a bit silly because you can get a free app on the iPad, like quite an old iPad I've got, and it works amazingly. Mm-hmm. That's got all amazing sounds on it. And just like really well thought out, layered up ones. One of the presets is called Let It Be.
Wow.
And it's like an upright piano sound.
Brackets. Little bit, ready for butchery.
Ready for butchery. Yeah, exactly. It's like oven ready, Let It Be. It's like, it's like a chicken with a gillet in.
Dehydrated, Let It Be. Just add water.
Just add water. And have at it. And it's an upright piano sound with strings on.
Oh, wow.
If you leave the key on a bit.
Great, yeah, lovely.
So it's just like, oh, the hours fly by. Right?
Yeah, of course they do, yeah. But no need for a bong anymore.
of course, I'm off the green.
Ooh, come on, Jamie. Yeah. Right, rest period now on the press as we hurtle towards the... Well, we're not going to get a deal in, are we, today? But
no.
That's okay. Yeah. I don't know whether, Tom, I've mentioned I've been to Stateside.
I thought he'd got red eyes.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be an episode...
Who's that? Conjunctivitis or a new uptake of Bitcoin? They have laser eyes.
It wouldn't be an episode of the Unlikely Weightless podcast without a story such as what we're about to sit down and enjoy together, dear Tom and dear listeners. And as you listen to me, Tom, I think you've got some of your zinc oxide cream on your bottom lip, which gives you an interesting foaming at the mouth quality.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good look after a heavy weightlift.
It'll be the magnesium carbonate.
It's mag carb.
Yeah.
So on the Saturday night, I don't know if I mentioned that Helen took me to New York for my 50th.
I wonder where you'd gone. Yeah.
I'm so thankful for going. What an experience.
Would you go again?
I'm in a heartbeat. Oh, I love the place. On the Saturday, just to cram these in, we went to watch the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. I got tickets for that. 20,000 people watching basketball. The biggest production of any kind of show. Everything, every time out, something comes on and does a show. Remarkable. Sunday morning, we went to Ella's Stardust Diner, just off Broadway, where Broadway wannabe singers basically sing whilst you're having your breakfast at 8 a.m. enjoying your waffles.
Good Lord.
And they're dancing around you singing amazing songs from Beauty show and the Beast. Show tunes. Copacabana. Incredible. Ticker tape going off, landing in your coffee. Oof. Absolutely remarkable. Sat there laughing, cried, overwhelmed. It was too much.
Wowzers.
Any road. Saturday night, we went to, after the basketball, we walked back uptown into Midtown. It was not far from Greenwich Village, not Greenwich, where the Cutty Sark is. Mm-hmm. They're stealing all of our names. Any road, Helen took us out for a birthday tea, a very, very nice, fancy Mexican restaurant. Very low lit, very beautiful, very New York, very cool. Incredible waiter with a moustache called Marion came and took all of our orders. Really felt that way in New York. Really attentive, offered suggestions for everything. Oof. I don't really know my way around Mexican food, but you know, you order little plates of stuff.
Fajita. Just play it safe with a fajita.
It was incredible stuff. And one of the things that Marion recommended me was was a raw fish starter. But it's not raw, of course. It's pickle, steeped in lime juice and herbs and all that kind of stuff. And it was absolutely...
It's like a zhuzhed up roll mop.
That's right, yeah. Absolutely delicious, Tom. Although there was just one tiny mouthful when I could taste fish, but thought nothing of it, carried on. Time capsule. Going down the gullet.
Oh, my God.
It's the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast. It wouldn't be the same without a bowel-related story. So we had the rest of the meal. Lots of spice.
So this pickled fish sort of thing.
Yeah. Lots of vegetables. Helen didn't have that, obviously, being a vegetarian, so I imbibed all of that.
Did you get her order in quick enough to prevent another downturn on the global financial market?
Yeah, she did, finally, yeah. She was all over it there. With Marion's help, we managed to achieve.
We could face another recession.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Mortgages are going through the roof as it is. Talking of which, I'm currently trying to work out the mortgage. It's an absolute nightmare. It feels like grown-up stuff I don't want to get involved with. Anyway, I'll deal with processing pickled fish. So on top of this raw fish starter went beef, a lot of beans, a lot of tomato sauce, a lot of chilli, a lot of different spices on top of it.
Booze?
Followed down by an incredible pecan cheesecake pie, which I had at the end that was just... I mean, and the food was, barring the one mouthful that I did have a question about, but then thought nothing about because I thought, I'm in a fancy restaurant, this can't possibly go wrong. I'm just eating clearance sushi.
No.
So I thought I was absolutely fine. You know, I was tricked.
And the dodgy mouthful was the fish.
It definitely was. It was a one bit tasted slightly fishy.
When you say fishy, bad.
Just a little bit too fishy. And the rest of it didn't taste too fishy at all. Okay. So I wonder if it was just the edge that they hadn't trimmed off properly.
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
Or just been above the pickling water.
Just going crazy.
Just fermenting.
So you pound a lot of spice, a lot of tomato, a lot of vegetables, a lot of beef, a little bit of pork on there, a little bit of extra chilli sauce, two very strong IPAs.
Yeah.
You pile in there a cheesecake and then you finish it off. Just like you've packed it into the cannon with a bit of gunpowder, a very strong coffee. You finish the meal, you feel like kings and queens. You walk out into the New York night where it's just stopped raining. You've got a renewed spring in your step and slightly distended belly. Across the block from where this posh restaurant was the most remarkable interior shop I've ever seen. Oh. It was like walking into a kind of a white and oatmeal palace. Enormous pillars, really high ceilings, wooden floors. Helen just wanted to go in there, sit on the sofas,
browse lampshades,
mooch about all stuff we couldn't possibly take back on the plane.
Yeah.
We went down into the bottom floor of it. Again, huge vaulted ceilings, New York loft style, really, really cool. And we were laughing about the impracticality of having enormous white fabric sofas.
With dogs.
Like, how would you do that? That was spaghetti bolognese. Exactly. Not a room for living in,
as we've
talked about, the living room for living in. And we just sit down in this incredibly comfy, white material coated.
Material's key as well, that's not wipeable.
As rather haughty staff trot around us thinking that we're probably wasting their time.
Yeah, yeah.
We sit in a seat made for two that's about, I don't know, $10,000.
Right.
And as we sit down there in this white seat made for two, I hear my stomach go, and Helen heard it and she looked at me and went, what the fuck with that? I said, that's my stomach. I think some of that fish might have been off. And then I realised within 2 or 3 seconds from that realisation that I'd say 120 seconds before I started to self-destruct.
To get to the lab.
Yeah. I looked over my right shoulder, no lavatories. Looked over my left shoulder, a help desk, a pay point with a child's family changing room bathroom behind. All of it.
Gold.
Pristine white doors. Gold dust. Popped in. May I use the bathroom, please? But from the neck down, I'm shaking. It's about 9:30.
Like a swamp.
Yeah. 9:30 p.m. But I'm quivering from the neck down. My leg's going.
I've got 90 seconds before my arse completely falls. Yeah.
I see on the door there's a code punched in it. So I immediately go, try to not sound panicked. Can you tell me the code, please? And he said, it's all right, the code's off. Fine, go in there. Help yourself, sir. And I go in and sit down and latch the door. And it's a huge, enormous open plan lavatory. But I can't help but be aware that the desk, the self-service till, or sorry, the service till, where they're giving kind of really important service to very rich clientele, is a mere 10 feet from the door I've just shut, which I've checked. I don't think it's fully soundproofed.
Right.
Anyway, I've got a job to do.
I mean, doors are only sound... You know if the door's soundproof.
Yeah.
It weighs a ton.
Exactly.
And it's got overlapping.
Yeah, which it did not have. It's solid, so it's passing sound straight through it. It's a real good conduit for sound.
Yeah.
I sit down just in time because my legs are about to stop working. Such is the pressure on my spinal column. I sit
down.
You're
in a stall thing? Are you just in a massive bathroom?
Yeah, a big bathroom, yeah, which has a lovely echo to it as well. Yeah. I sit down onto the copious pan and it's pretty much a one-bang, all-done situation.
Pavarotti.
Yes. I go full in shadow! In shadow! And then the sound of a goose being strangled. Just one bang and a goose being strangled. And the entire meal has come through me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that fast. It was an absolute ejection. Now, I think I was in and out there in 5 minutes. Helen says she was waiting upstairs for 15 to 20 minutes.
Right.
We will never know because we didn't set a timer running.
Vibe from help desk when you left?
Vibe from help desk. A few knocks on the door.
Oh, really?
Only a minute after I'd been in there, though. Okay, and I said, there's someone in here!
Oh,
there's a British man. Hugh Grant is in here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that limey we just saw come out of the Mexican.
The guy with the legs wobbling.
It's going to be a while in there.
Get in line, buddy.
I saw him at the rotten fish with the coffee chaser. Guy's out of his mind.
Thank God he didn't ruin any stock.
You didn't let him sit on that big chair, did you?
That's a hell of a yard sale. So anyway, having dealt with the inevitable, I crawled out feeling like I'd been kicked down the stairs, but massively, massively relieved. And then we were, but Helen needed a wee by this point, but she felt she couldn't go back in. Into the stall for multiple reasons. So we set off on foot to walk towards Greenwich Village to find a bar where she could go for a wee. That started to become quite a pressing concern. So at one point she went, right, we're going in here. And we walked in to what was a very friendly and welcoming and lively gay bar in Greenwich Village. And we sat down on a couple of stools. Now, it was on two levels. There was the floor level, where there was a guy playing the piano who is, I think, would probably identify as a bit of a bear. And there were about six or seven other guys there, all in their kind of work suits, like they'd just come out from work, and sat in various chairs and thrones, enjoying the guy playing jukebox musical songs on the piano. It was a really nice vibe. Got a couple of tonic waters just to try and settle the stomach. Of which the guy behind the counter said he didn't have a button for tonic water, so he'd have them on me, princess. I said, thank you, you're a lovely man. Sat down. Helen went for a wee in the ladies. I sat there and enjoyed Billy Joel and the show tunes. The free tonic water on the High Life. Aware that there was a little bit of a churn beginning to occur again. And then what, round two was absolutely charging itself up.
Really?
It really needed to be gone. And Helen returned from her bathroom, which she was in and out, no problems at all. And I said, I think I am going to have to go again. I'd say we've got about an hour's grace. And she said, I don't think you can go and do that in the loos here, because they are more of a multi-purpose lavatory than the one you've just ruined.
What you need is a high-end furniture shop.
In the furniture shop. But I'm well aware I've burnt that bridge there, Tom. I've absolutely detonated that one.
I presume if it's a chain, the ban will be across. Yeah.
Very much like in the bridge over the River Kwai, I've fallen on that detonator like Sir Alec Guinness and blown that bridge up big time. And I was saying to her, look, it's absolutely fine. I'm sure I can go in there and use the lavatory for its primary purpose. Mm. You know, its plumbed in purpose. Mm. At which point, a succession of couples of gents kept popping in and out through the doors and going to, I think, probably just going for a poo together, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably two stalls there. It just makes sense. Two in, two out.
Yeah.
And then one of them walks out with a really quite visible erection in his jeans.
Good grief.
And at which point, Helen said, you absolutely cannot go in there to go and do, to use it for its initial plumbing use. And we had to finish our tonic waters and scurry on the subway and got back to the hotel just in time. But we've had an amazing day, Tom. And it wouldn't have been a trip to the States or indeed any kind of holiday without having had some kind of guttural explosion.
Absolutely.
But that's my stateside shitting yourself story.
What a story. What a story. And travelling does that, doesn't it? You can... it more often than not, I think if you travel far, a bit of digestive upset is inevitable,
yeah.
It seems.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely inevitable. I've lost count of the times I've shat myself in the Far East.
Haven't we all?
And I mean, didn't actually make it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, had to maybe find a bin for some clothing.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. But yeah, blew out my sister by the next morning, absolutely fine.
Yeah,
we're straight back in the Carnegie Diner, eating like kings. Yeah.
You got any more of that dodgy fish?
Yeah, exactly. Took down half a pound of pastrami.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Wagyu pastrami, incredible. But I had to concede that it wouldn't be on mode for the club.
For
chaps to be in there, I could have really dampened the ardour.
Yeah,
the sound of someone just going.
Yes.
Like, oh God.
Yeah.
I can't get wood here. What the hell? Incredible scenes.
Extraordinary.
New York, New York. What a trip. And that's only scratching the surface, Tom.
I'm sure.
The memories will live on. We played chess together in Central Park in front of a jazz band.
Jeez.
It felt like it was in When Harry Met Sally.
Good.
It was incredible.
God.
Absolutely
what
incredible.
Scenes. What
beautiful
scenes.
Place.
Yeah.
Set three,
let's do it.
Very busy out there. It's walking season.
Ah.
Yeah.
And it's Good Friday, of course.
And Good Friday as well. It's, yeah, absolute sweet spot.
Look at this.
Whoa. So you managed to find a parking spot there for the Citroen.
Quite a Piccadilly Circus.
Also, which is worth mentioning, just in closing here, me and Tom, we had a identical car to identical car telephone call last night, didn't we, to set up finesse arrangements.
The world's first, I think.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Yeah.
And you were coming back from Scunthorpe, and I was a bit more central. And it turned out there was a 1 minute time difference on our dashboard clocks, wasn't there?
I presume that is. I was on Eastern time.
Yeah, and I must have been on Central time.
On Central.
Yeah.
Probably got different news.
Yeah, time in New York at the moment, 4 hours behind where we are right now, for our stateside listeners.
4 hours, 1 minute if you're in Scunthorpe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Depending which Citroen you're in. But great stuff, Tom.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Good lift.
Tremendous lift. And have a great holiday. And I was.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm away now.
Yeah, I'll just text. We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast. Remember, you can get in touch with us on our new email, theunlikelyweightlifters@gmail.com, and you could also get in touch and check out and follow. Give us a like and a follow wherever you get your podcast. But also give us a like and a follow if that's how it works. On the Unlikely Weightlifters Facebook page. That's the Unlikely Weightlifters podcast Facebook page. See you soon.
Yeah.
It's a nice evening as I'm recording this. What are we in? Can you hear the birds?
Can you hear the birds, Mother? Can I hear the birds? Is that a jackdaw? Is that a crow? I don't know what any of them are.
Oh, there's a dog poo. Well... There we go. The yin and yang of nature.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.